Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for joining me tonight. My name is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad on Blog Talk Radio for the segment of Religion Means Alive. Tonight's topic for January 18, 2016 is marrying broke. Can you afford to get married? First and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to see another day for encouragement and upliftment within our community. We go through so much in our communities, and it's just, you know, really a sad state of affairs to see how everything is just falling apart, and we don't acknowledge it, we ignore it, and we pass it by because it's not something that's on our doorsteps or something that we're facing head on in the daily, you know, struggle that we would have to deal with. So I'm thankful to Allah for everything that I have. You know, I never take for granted, first and foremost, life. I don't take for granted the use of my limbs. I don't take for granted, you know, having food to eat, things of those natures. You know, I keep in the constant remembrance of Allah in all my actions throughout the day. I just try to be cognizant of, you know, what goes on around me and how can I become a better Muslim day to day, because that's what it's really about. And I understand that, you know, there are a lot of things that plague us and, you know, things that we go through on a daily basis, things that we struggle with every day. And, you know, marriage is one of those things that we struggle with. We know that for Muslims, you know, marrying is half our deen, half our religion. The other part is being a good Muslim and striving to do right and forbid wrong. But marriage is not an easy thing. It's easy. It's absolutely easy to get married, but staying married is, you know, the struggle for a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, people give up too early and people don't want to fight for what they believe in and don't fight for their marriage and things of that nature. And, you know, some things we shouldn't have to fight for. And that's like just plain old respect. We shouldn't have to fight for that. We shouldn't have to fight. We shouldn't have to fight for someone to respect us and for someone to honor us and for someone to treat us with dignity. You know, a lot of people look at marriage as this institution where, you know, once you're in it, and there's no way out. And that's not the course with Islam. Yes, that goes on in many other religions, just like Catholics. Once they get married, once, you know, it takes a lot for them to get their marriage. Basically, I think they have to get it annulled. Like, you can't even get a divorce in the Catholic religion. And a lot of people put up with a lot of things because their religion states that, you know, divorce is not looked upon favorably. And that's the same way with Islam. Like, you know, we shouldn't play around with the whole marriage thing. You know, we should be cognizant of, you know, what we're doing in our marriage, what we're doing to keep it upright and not have it fall and crumble apart. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks upon divorce in an unfavorable way. We know that. It's you know, it's not looked upon. But we have to think, what do we do to ourselves to put ourselves in the situation where divorce might occur? Or if you want to look at it from a different perspective, when you're looking to seek out a spouse, are you looking for key things that you want, or looking at key things that you know that they can provide, because that would give a different view on what to expect. Now, marrying broke. I know a lot of people say, "Oh no, I can't do that," and you know, and I look back to my parents, my grandparents. You know, I look back to see how they handled things, you know, in their time, in their era. And they struggled, and they put up with a lot of different things. Was it always, you know, peaches and cream? Was it always, you know, good? You know, they never had no bad days? Absolutely not, but they made sure that, you know, not until I was older did I become aware of some of the struggles that they had to go through, because as a child, I didn't know. Like, I didn't, they made a good effort not to make sure that I wasn't aware of what was going on. And as I stated, not until when I was older, I understood why certain things were done and how things were done. So, you know, that made me appreciate a lot of the struggles that, you know, my grandparents had to go through and my mom and dad had to go through. You know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy, but, you know, they kept it together. Working with someone when the other person does not have it. I come from a family where the man took care of the woman. And, you know, it's the same way in Islam. And I have a hard time. I have a hard time, a very hard time, dealing with the fact that these brothers want us to take care of them. I mean, it has really come down to this. Like, you know, it's like, you know, they're basically shaming sisters for having an education, for having a good job, for having their stuff together, and, like, demoralizing us because we have it and we should feel sorry and sympathetic for them. I can't. Quadira cannot get past that. I will never in my life ever again help a man get where he needs to get if he didn't have his stuff together already and a situation arrived, such as if he lost his job or he got hurt on the, you know, hurt on the job, something of that nature. But I will never put myself in that situation again. You want to marry me, I'm doing like my mother did, I'm doing like my grandmother did. You have to take care of me. And if I can't find someone like that, Quadira is going to remain single. I'm not taking care of no man. I'm not doing it, and not just because of my own personal reasons why I don't want to do it, because Allah said we shouldn't have to do it. Now, y'all could take the religion, y'all could twist it and turn it and try to do whatever y'all want with it. Clear in Quran, it's clear in Hadith that a man is the provider and maintainer of the woman. Y'all could try to bamboozle people, you could try to twist and turn, you could try to con people, you could try to do whatever you want, but it's not falling over here no more. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And these men should be ashamed of themselves. I did a whole show on, you know, role reversal, because that's exactly what this is. It's like, okay, you want us to feel sorry for you in your situation, but who felt sorry for us when we had to struggle to get where we had to get? Nobody said it was easy for us. It's not like, you know, we just walk out the door and we're making a certain amount of money and we got a house, we got a car, we got all this. We had to struggle just as hard as any other man had to struggle to get what we got. I've seen so many bad situations where I'm like, why? Who married them? Why would you even get married to put yourself in that situation? And I was in that situation myself. I was in that situation myself, and, you know, after everything transpired, the divorce was over, I had to really sit down and look back at myself and say, is that what you really deserve? Did you deserve that? Did you think that less of yourself that you tolerated what you tolerated? Did you really deserve that? And I had to sit back and think, like, no, I didn't. I didn't deserve that. I deserve way more than that. I was trying to teach myself a humbling lesson with my last marriage. I was teaching myself a humbling lesson. Like, you know, stop thinking you're above people, you know, do this, do that. And I'm like, the whole time I was miserable because that's not what I was used to doing. That's not how I grew up. That's not the environment I was privy to. So I'm like, no, I would never put myself in that situation where I'm taking care of a man. I would never do it again. And I advise no sister to do it. If a man wants you, he's going to move heaven and high water to be with you. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to sacrifice to get you, to be with you. He's going to do it. We can't keep sitting here trying to sugarcoat this stuff for whoever, however somebody feels, however you feel in your own situation or whatever like that. Like I said, unless the man fell on hard times where he lost his job or, you know, he got hurt on the job. And even then, it's still not our responsibility to do that. This is why when you have a job, you need to save. You need to save for certain situations that may arise like this. Because, you know, if you get injured on the job, you get workman's comp, and, you know, you don't get your full paycheck. You get a percentage of your paycheck. Or if you lost your job, you can get unemployment, but that's only for a certain amount of time, and that's still not the full amount of your salary that you was getting. And we all know the economy is trash out here. We know it's trash. We know that, you know, it's hard to get a job. We know it's hard to maintain a job because everything is always changing in the environment and the economy. But we need to make better choices and better decisions for our lifestyle because you could go out there and buy $200 Jordans, but you can't take $50 out of each one of your paychecks and put it away for savings. You ask the average person that lives in an urban community, do you have a life insurance policy? You can get a life insurance policy for $9.70 through Colonial Penn. $9.70. And if you have a half-decent job, you may be able to get a life insurance policy through your employer as well. It pains me to see people get married and then be put in this type of situation where the whole responsibility is on you. It shouldn't have to be this way. It shouldn't have to be this way. And if we feared a loss of him with the idol, like we say we fear him, we wouldn't dare take advantage of nobody in their kindness. We wouldn't dare do it. It's sickening. It's deplorable. It's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, I went to school for mental health and social services. And, you know, I have a degree in it. And, no, it's not the field of work that I do, but I guess a lot of sisters feel like they can talk to me. And I don't divulge the information because I would never want nobody to divulge the information that I give them. But a lot of sisters talk to me. And they tell me their stories. And it's heartbreaking to hear how these men do these women who are taking care of them. Like, I don't, you know, I think a lot of times people take advantage of people's kindness and treat it as a weakness and use their vulnerability because they're so generous and humble. Like, the stories that I hear, I'm almost in tears now from some of the stories that I hear from sisters that they tell me how these Muslim men treat them. And I'm not just talking about African-American brothers either. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about I get people all kinds of creeds, nationality, races, people talk to me. And when I hear these stories, and I'm like, are they Muslim? issues with themselves too. I'm not just going, you know, dig in and rake over the coals on the brothers. No, sisters have issues with them too. You don't want to cover. You don't want to pray. You don't work. You don't do this. And you don't want to keep the house clean. You don't want to iron a brother's clothes, wash his clothes. And you don't have to work. He's not only taking care of you, he's taking care of your kids that aren't his. And you want to be disobedient to your husband, who's providing for you and your children. I just think that before people get into a marriage, they should seek counseling. And then, you know, you have people tell, oh, that's not the sooner you show me where they had counsel. And I understand that, but it has to cut back on the fly-by-night marriages. Because I'm going to tell you, this is how it works. And I see it happen on Facebook, and it happened to me. I did it. So, you know, this is what happened. When you first get married, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so perfect, y'all. Going out to dinner, you're having fun, everything, and that lasts for about 3 months. Because then reality sets in. Bills need to be paid. Stuff needs to start to be taken care of. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. If a woman has to take care of a man, she will treat you like her child. Don't expect no respect from her. Because she's going to get fed up. She's going to be miserable because she has to do it. And Allah didn't say that women were the maintainers of men. He said men are the maintainers of women. So that's two strikes against you right there. No woman wants to take care of a man. No woman in her right, feeble mind would want to take care of a man. She would have to be feeble and insane to want to have to pay all the bills in the house, buy this man clothes, shoes, food, and everything, and expect nothing from him. You would have to be insane to want to do that. You shouldn't have to take care of a man. I'm like this. If and when I have another sit down or whatever have you, first question will be, do you have enough money to bury yourself? Because even though I would be your potential wife, why leave me with the burden of having to bury my husband when he had enough time and enough provision to bury himself? If a brother tell you that he ain't even got enough money in the bank to pay for Hajj, and it's not that expensive, what are you doing with your money? You want a wife that's, you know, already established, what are you bringing to the table? What do you have to offer besides some halal sex? What else do you have? Because, again, even if it's all good in the beginning, she's going to get tired of this. She don't care about that. She wants some bills paid. She wants some help so that she doesn't have to struggle as hard as she's doing. But it's like she's taking on the responsibility of having another child. What can you bring to the table to help maintain her? And then, you know, people want to go in on, oh, the sooner is this, and, you know, money ain't everything. What if he has knowledge? Oh, that's all well and good. Alhamdulillah, that he knows he has knowledge. He can speak Arabic. You know he know Hadith. Alhamdulillah. Paying no bills, though. Unless he's, you know, an imam somewhere, or they paying him to recite and teach classes. I don't care if he had all the knowledge of 10 If he ain't got no money, how is that going to benefit me? And people say, oh, that's just gold. No, I'm looking out for, why would I want a man laying up in my bed? I go to work every day. I come home from work and you still laying in the bed? On social media. Who wants a man like that? You ain't cook, you ain't clean, you ain't do nothing all day. And I'm supposed to accept that because you a hostess of Korean or you know so many hadith. Who in their right mind would want that? I am too old to be settling for this nonsense. And if it means that I have to remain the remainder of my life single, so be it. I'm not going to accept just any and everything. Any and everything. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to accept it because I don't deserve that. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be a millionaire. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to have something. You got to already be established with at least something. You hold the job for 6 months. Every 3 months, you out of a job looking for another job. Why, though? What's the inconsistency? What's going on there that you can't keep and maintain a job? I mean, we have to wake up. As women, we are preyed upon because of our good nature. And a lot of these brothers look at that. Watch. They watch what we post. They watch and see. And I have had brothers tell me that, oh, you'll make a good wife because you can cook. I see you clean. You know, you knowledgeable. I see what you're doing. Oh, I need your Wakil number or whatever. All right. And what people fail to realize, what these brothers fail to realize, my blood brother is my Wakil. Not some homie, some boy, some Aki. I know this is, we share the same mother and father. And I help raise him. And he looks at me as a second mother, other than my mother. So if you think that you want to get over on him, you got another thing coming. You ain't getting past him. You ain't getting past him. Now, for a potential brother that I like, I'll warn him. I'll warn him. I tell him from the door, he's going to eat you alive. So you better be ready. Oh, well, why your brother got to be like that? Because it's my brother, and that's his right, and that's his job to scrutinize everything. Because just like, you know, I'm his sister. And that's what a true Wakil would do. He would question you about what's your income, how many children you have, you know, where you work, how long you've been there. That's his right to do that. I used to fight my brother on this all the time, like, oh, you just don't want me to get married. But now I see, because he told me last time, don't do it. I see something that I don't like, don't do it. And I fought him on it, and look what happened. And I said, don't even say it to me. I told you so. I said, I'm going to eat this one. I'm going to eat it because it was my fault. And this is his explanation. He said, I would never marry you because not only because you're my sister, but I would never marry you to somebody I know is not even qualified to deal with you on the level of maturity that you're on. And he tells the brother, like, my sister will eat you up. Like, you better be able to handle her and deal with her because she'll walk all over you. You better be able to put her in line. And if you're not a strong brother, she's going to walk over you. And my brother, he does the same thing that I do. Now, I know a lot of people don't put all their business and information out there on social media. They don't put all their information out on social media, but I do the same thing, and, like, if the brother inboxed me, like, what's your Wakil information, I go to your page and I scroll through to see what's going on, what's happening, see, you know, who our mutual friends are and things like that. I do all that. And I cut the chase when I see you all up in clubs, popping bottles, you all hugged up with all kinds of women. I don't see not one piece of Quran or hadith on your page. It's all about partying, all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words. If that's all you can promote on your page is about drinking, partying, or whatever, you're not for me. You're not for me. And I said this on a post earlier. I said I expect my husband to be praying in the masjid 5 times a day if he's able to. Fasting, working, or home. Now, if you want to go to a game or hang out with your, you know, the brothers every now and again, that's fine. Don't nobody have a problem with that. Or if you want to have a game night or something like that here at the house with your brothers or whatever like that, that's fine. You know, I'll find a sister house I can chill out over, you know, hang out. Maybe we'll go out and eat or something like that. We, like, coordinate different things. So, you know, if you're doing something, I'm doing something as well. But your man out at the clubs every weekend, you then become a reflection of me, and I'm a reflection of you. So people are going to look at that like, yo, her husband all the way up in the clubs and hugged up with some female, and look at this. It's embarrassing. I get sick of having to go through the process of wasting my time. I think that's where the real issue comes in at, is like, you know, it's a whole waste of time. You already know from the door that you're not qualified. Because 9 times out of 10, the brothers who approach me or want to, you know, approach me about marriage, you've been following me for a good minute. Or you've been watching me, because you say it. I've been watching you, I follow you, or whatever like that. You don't see any foolishness, except when I get in my bag sometimes. You don't really see any foolishness on my page. Everything is about the radio show, about my business, or, you know, different topics that I put out there. And again, I put those topics out there to generate interest on what I should do a show about. Consider social media and the whole internet stuff as real life. Even though we talk about real life issues, that's not who, I want to say, it's not really who I am. And people who know me personally, like, oh, no, you're not like that, or whatever, you know, people think that I'm this evil witch that hate men and all this other stuff. I mean, no, that's not who I am. But I know my persona can come off sometimes like that, but you have to get to know me personally to know that I never sugarcoat anything. I say what I feel, and I feel what I say. And I don't bite my tongue for a lot of issues and a lot of things that I say out my mouth. I don't. And, I mean, some brothers do inbox me and be like, yo, you need to chill out. All right, I'll chill out. In a marriage, we have to learn that it's not easy, but we shouldn't go into a marriage trying to deceive someone. You already know your situation. This person has to get to know you. They don't know who the real you are. And, you know, I know in Islam we don't prolong marriage. Like, we don't prolong the whole process of getting married. I understand that. But I'm like, I'm old now, so I can wait. I'm old. I can wait. I'm not in a rush for nothing no more. Like, I ain't trying to rush nothing. Because I need to see who you are. I need to see who you are. I need to be able to decipher and pick apart and find out what it is all about you that makes you you. And we have to get off of the conniving, because it's going, I say this all the time. what's done in the dark will be shown in the light. And that never fails. It's the God honest truth. The Lord will reveal stuff that needs to be revealed, and it will not be covered up. It will not be covered up. Everything will be shown the way it needs to be shown and revealed when it needs to be revealed. I'm going to open up the line right now. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013. See that we got a lot of people online. Just press 1 if you want to speak to me or you got a comment. If you are streaming live on the Internet, you can go to the chat box and you can type in your message there, and I'll be able to read it on air and respond accordingly. So, what would be financial stability for you to get married? Like, what do I want to hear from the listeners? I want to hear from the listeners because you have to be able to pay something. Like, you know, a lot of these brothers look for sisters who are already established. They're looking at everything that you do. They're looking at everything that you post to see if you're already established. Because it's like, I'm not in the business of helping nobody. And so I'm not helping a sister who already don't have her stuff together. And that's understandable. That's understandable because, you know, your kids, not his kids, and technically they're not his responsibility. But I'm like, any man with a heart, with a conscience, would want to help if he sees that you're struggling with your own kids. He should never want to separate and be like, okay, well, they ain't my kids. And I shouldn't have a responsibility to them. But brothers, pay attention to the things that you do with your kids and see how you're maintaining and things like that. They look for that. They absolutely look for that. And this is the thing. I don't need a man to help me with anything. I really don't. I have my own house. I have my own car. I have a full-time job. Outside of the radio show and my hummus business, which are my side hobbies, you know, I take care of my kids on my own. I have 2 grown children and 1 minor child, but I do it by myself. I don't need a man to take care of me, but am I smart enough to know that I need a man in the household to be able to tell me to calm down, sit down, sit, you ain't got to do this? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to be the man or the head of the household. I don't want that job. I don't want the job of having to pay all the bills and struggle and, you know, organize everything. I shouldn't have to do that. I do it because I have to, but that's not what I want to do. Like I said, if I get married, inshallah, I'll give up more on my husband and my wifely duties. I'll give up a lot of stuff. Absolutely, I would. If he was able to take care of me in the manner that, you know, would not burden me or put me in a worse situation than I'm already in, absolutely, I would give up a lot of things. And I've said this. I don't want to be the maintainer. I don't want that job. I want to give that job to my husband because that's his role and that's his right to have it. Seeing that I had put up a post, and, you know, a lot of sisters about the feminist movement. Muslim women, if you out there listening, the feminist movement had nothing to do with Islam. And we have to understand that we received our rights from Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1,400 plus years ago. We received our rights. So all that stuff they talking about being independent, not dependent on a man, that was used to break up the family structure. to take away the power from the man, to make him feel irrelevant in his own home. When you take the mother out the home and the father is out the home, there is a separation where now the kids are partially raising themselves. That is not what Islam is about. And that whole feminist movement is a load of crap. Your place is in the home. It says, where is the place for the woman to pray? It is better for a woman to pray in her home than going to the masjid. Where is one of the places that Shaitan lurks? The marketplace. What would that mean? Like the supermarket, the mall, any place where they're selling the things, because the Shaitan loves corruption. And a lot of things deal with corruption in those places. If I could be a stay-at-home wife and be maintained, cared for, and provided shelter and food, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I don't want to work no more. Who wants to do the job of a man? I know I don't. But I'm not going to settle for just having a man, having a husband, for the sake of having that title. You can keep that title. Anybody who wants that title, you want to take care of a man and deal with his stuff and everything like that, giving you more heartache and pain, you deal with that. I'm not dealing with that no more. I would never, inshallah, I would never want to be in that position again. Because it makes you angry, it makes you bitter, it makes you vengeful. To have to go in your wallet, open your wallet, and give your husband money. That's degrading to a woman. I'll open the line again. If anybody has any comments, questions, or concerns, you can call in at 805-727-7013. And press 1. I'll put you through. You know, in the day and age that we live in, you know, we have a lot of people who, a lot of women who are independent, and who are self-sufficient and can maintain those, you know, maintain their home and everything like that. But men need to understand that even though you see that the woman can do and can do, you know, everything that you need to do, you have to be man enough to want to do it. Be man enough. You want your woman to respect you, and you want her to show you love and care and compassion. You're going to have to take care of her. You're going to have to show her that you do want to be a man, and you want to fulfill these rights of taking care of her. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, getting married for the sake of Allah and trying to preserve this deen as best as you can, but you shouldn't go into it burdening someone. That's the thing that I have a problem with. If you know that you can't afford a wife, continue to fast. Why make that hardship? If you know yourself that you're not ready to get married and that you can't fulfill the duties of what a husband is, don't marry. Don't marry. It's nothing nice about hearing someone go through such a bitter, angry divorce. It's heartbreaking to hear these type of things. Like, these brothers aren't ready to get married, but they're just doing it. But then again, I ask, well, who is her wali? Who is her wakil that is approving these types of marriages? I see we have somebody that has a question. I'm going to put you through. Thank you for joining Religion Means Alive. This is Sister Cordelia. You have a comment? Question? Hello? Okay, I guess they don't. You know, who is wakil? Who is her wali? Who is authorizing these types of marriages? Now, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, it's not sunnah to say that you got to get married at the masjid and all this and that. And that's true. You don't have to. But it's better that you establish yourself in a community where someone at least knows you. People are getting married, and you don't even know what community they're associated with, where they attend, who they really are. You know, back in the day, like I took my shahada back in 92. So back in the day, you basically married somebody from your neighborhood that was Muslim, or you knew they was, you know, within the same city. You knew them. You knew their character. You don't know their character if somebody's living out in California or Texas. You don't know them, and nobody that lives around you knows who that person is. It's a little bit different now with the internet. You can meet people and, you know, get married, but you don't really know where they come from or what they really are about. You don't know that because they're not established in your local community. And that's how it was back in the day. You married somebody that was in your local community. The role of the wakil and the wali is to safeguard the Muslima tragedy, to be able to deal with the brother in the manner that's befitting, to understand who he really is and what his priorities are with the brother's ward. It is his job to dig in his behind to find out if he's right for this sister. But you have a lot of these sisters who just want to get married, do whatever they want, then complain about their marriage failing and this brother wasn't this and wasn't that, but you use his friend as your wali. You got everything you deserve. I said it myself. Even though my brother was my wakil, he told me not to do it. And I was hard-headed and went ahead and did it and got my behind handed to me. That's why I said I'm not doing it no more. I'm not doing it no more. If you can't get past my wakil, then I guess, you know, I'll be single. You playing these games, you know, and I try to give these brothers the benefit of the doubt. But it's like you want him to slaughter you. You want him to cut you down to, because he's not going to go easy on you. He's going to dig into you. He's going to ask you critical questions that may make you feel uncomfortable, but he's doing that, why? To safeguard his sister. You can't, and I'm just saying, sisters, if you want somebody to really safeguard your union and look at the brother, the potential brother you're marrying, as someone who needs to be scrutinized and raked over, like you need to be raked over a couple of times to find out what you're really about, give that job to somebody who is dedicated to performing that type, handling those type of situations. Don't use the brother's potential friend or cousin or somebody else that, you know, he know, just so you can have that witness and have that wali or wakil saying, oh, okay, this is what we want to do. Don't complain later when everything falls apart. Sisters, I mean, you know, these brothers might get mad at me, and I'm like this, don't take care of no brother. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Leave it where it's at. Please don't take care of a brother. Don't. You're worth more than that. You are definitely worth more than that. Now, again, for people who just joined the call, I see a couple of people just joined the call. I'm not talking about in a situation where there's a financial hardship, such as you losing your job or getting hurt on a job, things like that. Yes, the sister can help out in that situation, but it's still considered as charity. She doesn't even have to do it in that case. It's still your responsibility. This is why we need to save money. We need to save money to be able to help in these kinds of situations and not burden your wife with bills and other things that she really doesn't have. And I think in these situations, how do these brothers, fall on hard times or whatever like that, and your wife stays at home? What do you do then? Because she doesn't have an income. She doesn't have an income. What do you expect her to do if she doesn't have an income? Alhamdulillah, you got a wife that work and everything that can do it. But what if your wife was staying home and she didn't have no income? How are you going to make her pay some bills? This is what we fail to realize. And another thing, and I'm going to talk about this because I know people get up in arms about this all the time. Brothers, you're purposely seeking out these sisters who are already established. And I'm talking about sisters who work, got their own car, house, whatever. Y'all prey upon those sisters. You also prey upon those sisters who got Section 8, food stamps, they get all that. Where you ain't got to worry about no responsibility. Sisters, if you in that situation where you getting all that, a brother approach you for marriage, he should be wanting to take you out that situation and put you in a better situation so that you don't have to depend on the government for no assistance. But that's not what these brothers are doing. Oh, yeah, I can maintain her. I can handle her maintenance. Why? She only paying $30 a month for rent. You got two and three wives. Some brothers I know got four. All your wives collected from the state. All your wives on Section 8. And that make you a man? No, that make you a boy. Stop trying to manipulate the system and then trying to slide Islam in there. Islam is perfect. Muslims are not. Stop trying to twist the system to fit your crooked, ignorant ways. I know if I was on Section 8, I wouldn't want to sit in Section 8 and have to worry about every little thing all the time. I would want my husband to be able to move me out of that situation into something better. And I would have more respect for him. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it, you ain't maintaining none of that. You don't have to worry about that. The government is your wife's husband. That's who's maintaining her. And if she's up for inspection, you got to leave out. She can't even let you know. You couldn't even be on your child's birth certificate because y'all trying to manipulate the system, keep them food stamps and the money rolling in, have her saying she don't know who her baby father is, get five or six different men to test, so the test keeps coming up negative that's the child's father. Have her looking like she's a whore out here in the community, and y'all accept this foolishness. Y'all accept this stuff. Y'all put up with this. Y'all tolerate that and think it's of the sunnah. Y'all should be ashamed of yourself. If you can't provide, don't do it. It's a disgrace to see these Muslims in these types of situations. It's a disgrace. And you think they don't talk about us? You don't think that they go and say, well, look at this. She got four kids, and look, she don't even know who the father is of four kids. This is what the non-believers say about Muslim women, because they're down there in the welfare office lying. Lying about where they live, who's their children's father, and y'all married. Y'all couldn't even get married in the state if y'all wanted to, because she'd have lied about everything. But you got two and three wives. How are you marrying and you don't have no kind of financial stability to really take care of them? I tell people all the time, and I do this on my Wednesday calls for Wealthy Wednesdays, for another situation that I'm handling. African-American people don't have money to bury themselves. They don't have no money for retirement. And we keep thinking that the government is going to be our saving grace. The government's going to help us. The government's going to do this. The government don't have bull crap. The U.S. dollar is weakening daily. It means nothing. It holds no value. The U.S. dollar is not backed by any gold or any silver or any mineral or anything. So if the U.S. dollar collapses, you have nothing. So if the U.S. dollar collapses, where do you think the government is going to get money to help you? These school districts barely got money to pay the teachers. And you think that the government is going to help you if something, God forbid, happened tomorrow where everything collapses? What if they shut off welfare and everything today? Would you be able to take care of your wife? What if the government stated tomorrow that anybody who is collected, you know, Section 8, welfare, getting food stamps and everything, we're shutting that off tomorrow, and, you know, we don't know what the time frame will be where you would be able to get assistance again because we broke ourselves. We don't even know if we have it. Would you be able to care for all your kids and your wives? Would you be able to care for them? You wouldn't be able to take care of them. So why even go through this process? Why even put yourself in a situation where you can't maintain, nevertheless, yourself, your wife, or your wife, and your children? Would you marry your daughter to someone like you? Would you want your daughter to marry somebody like you? Be honest and open. Would you want somebody? Would you marry your own daughter to somebody like you and the foolishness that you do? Would you allow it? And then again, some of y'all don't even care. Would you want somebody to treat your daughter the way that you treat her mother? I'm just asking. Because we can continue this cycle all day long and try to bring Islam into our Hislam, because that's what it is, Hislam. We can manipulate it all we want, but you know what? At the end of the day, some sisters are smart enough not to be bamboozled with your foolishness. And I'm one of them. It's not happening again. Now, y'all can say, oh, you keep your standards to her. I deserve better, and I'm going to get it, inshallah, whether you like it or not. I'm not settling no more. For what? Why should I? I can do everything that I can do by myself, but I don't want to. So why should I have to settle for somebody who's giving me less and deal with it? Why should I? Why should I have to do that just because he can bring Dean but can't do anything else for me? He can recite the whole Quran, but I got to open my wallet and give him money. Are you crazy? Then y'all say, oh, y'all supposed to listen, follow the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, I get it. But let's be clear. There was no welfare. There was no WIC. There was Section 8, there was none of that back in the prophet's time. So let's be clear on that. These brothers worked and they earned the income. No, it might not have been a lot, but it was something. And their wives, 9 times out of 10, didn't work. So he was maintaining his wife the way it should be. Even though it wasn't a lot, it was still better than what I see today. Brothers don't want to work. Want to live off your wife or your wife. Want to do as you please. And then want to incorporate the sunnah into it. Stop. Just stop. It's sickening and it's degrading. Now, these sisters could say, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that. It's because you don't know no better. You think you deserve none of that. You think that you deserve an A-line overgarment and a fortress of Islam, fortress of a Muslim, and a Quran. You think you deserve that, and that's sufficient for you. That's because you don't know no better. And that's out of your ignorance. And thinking that you're not supposed to want for anything else. You're supposed to accept that and be humble and understand it. And like I said, my brother would never fall for that. He ain't falling for that. I say, any sister, you should at least be able to give that sister $1,000. At least to the minimum $1,000. Sister's getting a leather jacket and Sauhi Albuquerque. A store for law. Like, this is crazy. Like, are you serious? And this is what we accept. Like I said on the other call, I went to a wedding. It was an African wedding. And sister was married before. Sister had kids from her other marriage. This was her second marriage. They was African. Let me tell you what her dowry was. $10,000. Brother had it in hand and turned it right over. $10,000. Oh, y'all probably say, oh, that's extreme. And I'm talking about this was in Southwest Philly. $10,000. Brother handed over the envelope with $10,000. Poor sister who was married before and had kids from a previous marriage. $10,000. Oh, that's extravagant. It's too much. No, it wasn't. Let me explain to you why, and I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to explain to you why. African Americans, since slavery, our futures too much. We look at the here and now. And some of us don't even know who our fathers are. We watched our parents or single mother parent, you know, single mom, struggle just to keep food on the table and clothes on our back. She never really had no money to save because she was always working. She had to pay the bills and maintain the family and everything like that. So she really didn't have the money to do for it. And again, we might not be as close-knit as, you know, with our father's side of the family or what have you. It could be vice versa. Some people were raised by their father and, you know, the mother was absent or whatever. But we don't have that money. And nevertheless, we couldn't go to, like, our grandmom or nothing like that to ask for the money. In other cultures, and I've seen this plenty of times in other cultures, the whole family will come together as a collective to meet that doubt. So you got aunts, uncles chipping in $200-$300 to get that dowry paid. Now, y'all might say, oh, that's excessive. But that's the way their family structure is. It's close-knit. The family does everything as a collective. Even in African homes, they will come together. You got 2-3 generations living in one house. But their house is paid off. All the bills in their house is paid. And guess what they're doing with their money? They're saving it, especially if it's a son. They're saving it so that he has that dowry to pay. You look at some African countries, oh, we're going to give her 2 cows and 20 sheep and, you know, 10, 20 chickens or whatever. You add that up, if you do it, the marketplace value for those animals, that's like $2,500 U.S. dollars. She got that. She got $2,500 in animals. And you, as Americans, still think it's okay to get an A-line overgarment and a fortress of a Muslim. Why? You devalue yourself. You think that's all I'm worth is that, so I'm going to accept that from a man because that's all he wants to give me and that's what I believe I'm worth. I don't get it. I don't understand it, and I don't see why we keep putting ourselves in these types of situations and think that they're going to rectify themselves. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse, and this is what we're accepting here. When are we going to learn to wake up and value ourselves and want to really step up to the plate and be a man that we know we can, that a man that a man can be. You want respect, you want honor, you want all that from your wife, but you're not willing to take care of her. You're not willing to do anything to keep her where she needs to be kept at. But you want to dictate and control stuff. You want to put, it's you the man, but you ain't paying a darn bill. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't even putting no food in the house. But you want to dictate to her that I'm a man, and I'm the head of the household, but you ain't doing nothing. You ain't even cleaning up. I'm going to open the line again. If anybody has a comment, question, or concern, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. You know, as Muslims, we have to do extremely better, extremely better. This community is, it's just sad. We're in a sad state of affairs. I'm not even pleading out there to change anything no more. I'm not pleading to try to help. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm just so frustrated and angry about how everything, nobody sees what is going on in the community. Nobody wants to shed a light on it. Nobody wants to speak about it. And I'm tired of speaking about it. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of having sisters inbox me crying about what their husbands are doing to them, how they're mistreating them, and things like that. And I educate these sisters and tell them, stop using their friends as they wakil. Stop trying to finagle the religion, because you're getting exactly what Allah ordained to happen, because you need to stop. Brothers, you're getting disobedient wives. Stop, stop, you know, looking for the person, this person, and trying to make them Muslim. Allah makes Muslims. So you're trying to convert somebody who's a non-believer to put on hijab and then learn Islam just so you can say, you know, oh, I got me a Muslim wife. This stuff needs to stop. Because if she doesn't really love Allah for the sake of Allah, then what you're getting is somebody who's just wearing a mask. It's a costume. It's a costume. That goes for the sisters, too. You know the brother ain't praying. You know he out in the streets. You know what he do. And all he do is put on a kufi and a throat or an izar, cuff his pants, give you the greetings. It's a costume. For you to be Muslim, you got to have it in your heart. And when you have it in your heart, it reflects in your action. So when we going to wake up? When we going to wake up? When we going to stop this foolishness out here in the community? When we going to stop trying to take advantage and bamboozle and switch and manipulate the religion how we want it to be practiced when we know darn well that's not how it's supposed to be? When are we going to stop? When are the men going to stop and really want to be men and step up to the plate and assert your authority as a husband, not just because you're her husband, but because you can provide for her? No woman wants to be the head of the household. No woman in their right mind would want to be the head of the household. None. And if you say you want to be the head of the household, I would question her. I don't want that job. I don't want to have to get up and work and do 10 hours a day. Then I got to come home, you know, and do my side business. I don't want to have to do that. If I had a husband who could maintain me and take care of me, I leave my job, and I've been on my job for 22 years straight. Alhamdulillah, 22 years straight. You don't think I'm tired of working and tired of living in that, working in a man's world? Because that's what I do. I want to leave that, but I'm not going to leave that alone for somebody who will make me in a worse situation than I'm already in. We got to wake up. We got to stop with the foolishness, or we need to get back to the grassroots of what the tenets of Islam says. What is the job and role of a husband, and what is the job and role of a wife? And until we do that, we are not going to have any change until we want to implement those kinds of things in our lives and practice the religion as it should be. On that note, I'm going to get ready to end the call. If nobody else has a comment, question, concern, again, you can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. Otherwise, I'm going to get ready to conclude the call. If you need to reach me, if you got a topic, event, or anything going on in your community and you want me to air it on the show, feel free to contact me. You can call me at 610-836-2120. You can leave a voicemail message or a text message to the cell phone. If you want to email me, you can email me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tab, Google Talk. Or you can inbox me or go to my page, Religion Means Alive, Quadira section on Facebook. Again, I appreciate all the listeners joining in to the calls. I appreciate your dedication and your support because I talk about things that, you know, people want me to talk about. Sometimes it's my own agenda that I pick up that I talk about. Sometimes it's things that, you know, people suggest to me. And this topic, Marrying Broke, was one of them. Somebody suggested it when I put up a post on topics they want me to discuss, and this was one of them. So alhamdulillah to the person that issued it. Again, if you want me to talk about something or you want to, you know, talk about something that's going on in your area, in your, you know, in your community, feel free to reach out to me. I'm open to anything. I'm not somebody who don't consider other people's ideas and things like that. I find that interesting, and that's what I try to focus on. So if you have something, reach out to me. I thank everybody tonight. First and foremost, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to know the difference from being ignorant, and I ask Allah to forgive me if I misstated anything or if I was, you know, in error for my statements. I ask Allah for to forgive me because that was not my intention to deceive or anything, anyone. Tonight's topic, marrying broke. Can you afford to get married? You know, we talk about this all the time and, you know, probably address it again sometime in the future, inshallah. Again, I appreciate everybody joining. Assalamu alaikum. Have a great evening.